Sometimes the load is heavy, and sometimes the road is long, and sometimes, Lord, this heart of mine is not so very strong, but thy will be done, Lord, thy will be done. Father, I do not ask you to take this cup from me. I only ask your guidance or paths I cannot see.
To find my stuff, just a second. Good morning, church. Welcome to worship at Bethel International. My name is Carrie, and I'm so glad to be here in this space. Herb, nice job today. I'd love to hear you sing. It is a beautiful, crisp day outside, and it is going to be a wonderful day to be in worship together in here. So thanks for being here today. If you happen to be online right now on our Facebook stream, say hello there. And if you found this video some other time, good on you for looking for it. So we've been talking about Multicultural Community Center. What does that look like? Well, on Tuesdays, this doesn't make sense. Let me try again. I should have pre-read better. On Tuesday, it's not high stuff. On Tuesday, a group of us broke bread, or rather, crunched tacos, with kids from the Hispanic after-school program. Here are a couple of pictures from that. On Mondays during our ESL classes, Afghan children made Valentines for their mothers, while some of us toured an ESL program in Dublin that serves 200 people every single week. Pretty impressive stuff. On Thursday at ESL, one of the Afghan mothers brought food for the teachers, which I happened to luck out and get some. So I'm just saying, volunteer, think about it. There are snacks sometimes. So these and all the ministries of our church are made possible by your generous and faithful giving. If you brought an offering with you today, you just place it in the black offering box on the back wall, or you can give, of course, in any of the electronic methods that are shown up on the screen. Everyone in worship is important, of course. So in person, you see the welcome cards scattered about. Go ahead and fill one of those out. One side's for contact information, the other's for prayer requests. Let us know what's going on. And we already talked about Facebook. If you heard me the first time and didn't do it, it's time to do it right now. Say, hey, everybody. okay. So we are in Lent, and Pastor Glenn's Lenten series will begin in 2 weeks on Sunday, March 3rd. It's going to go from 5 to 6, 4 Sundays in a row. It's an opportunity for you to grow into a fuller relationship with God by telling your story and listening to someone else's story. You will have a chance to talk about something that you just happen to be the world's leading expert on, your own life. We're going to tell stories about when we've taken a stand, about love, about change, and when things turned out different than we thought they might. No preparation is necessary. You already know all the answers. So just think about when it might work for your schedule to come. You don't have to come for all 4 weeks, but of course you're welcome to do that. Just come when you can. This is my story, Sundays at 5, starting in 2 weeks on March 3rd. So when we start talking about Lent, we know Easter's a-coming, so it is time to order flowers to grace our Easter worship. Lilies are $12, daffodils will be $7. They can be given in honor of or in memory of loved ones. We encourage you to order at mybethel.org through the link in the Weekender newsletter that came out, or you can get an order form on the hospitality desk in the lobby. Here's what we can expect in our worship today. We're going to start with music. After Guy's children's message, elementary age children can go to children's worship if they'd like to. You reconnect with your kids just through those doors, of course. And for younger children, the nursery is available. After scripture and sermon, we'll pray together, sing some more, and be sent out to love our neighbors. I invite everybody to rise in spirit or body. Let's worship our amazing God together.
Come to the well that never runs dry.
first Sunday of Lent, 40 days of spiritual preparation before Easter. Our theme for Lent is again and again, not again and again, in the sense of one darn thing against another, not mindless repetition, but again and again, God. Again and again, God teaches us, encourages us, loves us, changes us. Today, it's again and again, God meets us. At his baptism, God met Jesus with affirmation and love. In the wilderness, God met Jesus with caring angels. When Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, he meant that God meets all of us everywhere, wherever we are, again and again. The longing of our hearts this Lent is for a fuller relationship with God. We long for a fuller relationship with God. Throughout these 40 days, may God meet you again and again.
To everybody. If you are a child or wish to be a child, you may come join us for some children's moments. Or if you're a child at heart. Oh, clearly I'm not. Y'all come sit over here. Look at all this open space. So I want to tell you a little story.
Yeah?
Jesus called his disciples to have a completely different attitude than anyone else. Instead of giving in to anger and resentment, he called us to show the love and grace of God by going the extra mile. So I read that this morning and I thought, going the extra mile, does that mean if I go to Target near my house, which is about a mile away, I have to drive another mile before I can go to Target?
Nope.
Okay. Does that mean that I came to church and it's about 3 miles, should I have gone on down to Starbucks, which is about a mile away, and get some coffee? Oh, Pastor Glenda wanted some coffee this morning, sorry. No, I shouldn't. So maybe I'm confused. To me, going the extra mile means driving another mile or walking another mile farther than you're supposed to be. What does going the extra mile mean? Idea?
Going the extra mile means doing more than you have to do.
Excellent. So when Mama or Mommy ask you to clean your room, you'll clean your room and Isaac's room?
Nope.
Does that mean that you will unload the dishwasher and load it?
No.
No. So I guess there's a different definition for going the extra mile with children. Interesting. Well, the Bible does tell us, if I can get this to, there it is, that in Matthew 5, 41 through 42 says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So if someone needs your help, instead of just maybe helping somebody carry in their groceries, maybe you help them carry in the groceries and help them put them away. Or maybe you do help them clean your sibling's room. No, still a no, sorry. I tried. So let's go talk about more about going the extra mile for people. How's that sound? Okay.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we've come now to the season of Lent, which may mean a lot to you, or it may mean absolutely nothing at all to you, depending on what kind of church you were raised in, if you were raised in any church at all. So let's do Lent 101. Lent is the season of 40 days, not counting Sundays, 40 days plus Sundays leading up to the celebration of Easter. As we'll see in a minute, the number 40 is an important number in the Bible. In the days of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Both Moses and Elijah spent 40 days up on top of a mountain, and Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And so every year we take 40 days to be intentional about spiritual growth. We take 40 days to kind of try to get our lives back on track. And there are a number of things that Christians do to keep Lent Some people do a weekly fast, right? Often on Fridays, meaning they go without food or without certain kinds of food for a whole day or for part of a day. And when done appropriately and in a healthy way, fasting can help you to strengthen your prayer. It can make you more compassionate about people who are hungry. Other Christians give something up for Lent, right? People ask, well, what are you giving up for Lent? Some people give up chocolate. Some people give up watching TV. Some people give up social media. You let go of something so you have more time and attention to devote to God. And still other people add something. They take on a spiritual discipline during Lent. So they do some daily devotions every morning, or they commit to a certain kind of service project for a time. We pondered our Lenten disciplines at the Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday night, and I really and truly do, I encourage you to do something for the season of Lent, something that will kind of free up your spirit. Something that will help you to have a fuller relationship with God. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I encourage you to do something. Maybe extra prayer devotions in the morning, maybe a service project, maybe acts of kindness to neighbors or even strangers. I encourage you to give something up, take something on, do something for Lent. But our worship series is not about what we do for Lent at all. It's actually about what God does all of the time. Our theme is again and again, again and again. And it comes from a worship resource group called A Sanctified Art. We've used their stuff before at Lent and Easter. And I admit, when I first saw this theme, I had a kind of negative reaction to it, to be honest with you. Again and again, well, it makes me think of things that I don't like that keep on happening anyway. You know what I mean? Oh, Johnny's in trouble at school again. The car is making that funny noise again. Oh, you know, the plumber has to be called again. Somebody's mad at me again. Oh, no, you know, not again. And again, that's my reaction. That reaction probably tells you more about me than it does about the actual worship theme. Because, you know, at least hypothetically, good things could happen again and again. My mind never goes there. But theoretically, good things could happen again and again. And so what this worship series is about, it's about teaching us, or maybe reminding us, that again and again, there's God. Again and again, God shows up. All Lent long, again and again, God will be inviting us into this fuller relationship. Today the theme is again and again, God meets us. Next Sunday, Reverend Deb Stevens will preach about again and again, we are called to listen to God. Then again and again, God shows us the way. Again and again, God loves first. And finally, again and again, we are changed, transformed. Over and over, we're invited into this fuller relationship with God. Again and again, God meets us. That's what our Lenten journey will be about. And today's scripture, Mark 1, verses 9 through 15, you know, really all it is, it's just the assigned lectionary gospel reading for the first Sunday in Lent, year B. Nothing really unusual about it. I looked it up. I preached on this scripture four times in the past. I read through a couple of them. They were all right, you know. But here's the thing. The people at A Sanctified Art have an observation to make about this scripture. They say these seven verses tell three important stories about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. First of all, Jesus' baptism, where God claims Jesus as God's own son. Second story is about Jesus' experience in the wilderness, where Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And finally, Jesus begins his public ministry, and he begins to tell everybody he can find that God's kingdom has come near. Repent, change your life so that you can live in this kingdom. And here's their insight. A sanctified art says that the common thread in all of these stories is the nearness of God. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, duh, you know, anybody could have thought of that. Well, I just have to say, I'm sure I've read this scripture 100 times, and it never occurred to me that the common thread in all of these stories is the nearness of God. Again and again, God meets us. Our theme is not again and again, you're on your own out there. Our theme is not again and again, bad things will probably happen. Our theme is again and again, God comes to meet us. So first story is the baptism of Jesus. Just like Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, Mark's gospel describes the Holy Spirit coming down, this voice from heaven saying that Jesus is God's Son, holy and beloved. But in Matthew and Luke, everybody sees the Holy Spirit, and everybody hears that voice from heaven. But in Mark, only Jesus sees the Spirit. And in Mark, only Jesus hears that voice from heaven. And in Mark, the voice doesn't say, "This is my Son, the Beloved." In Mark, it says, you are my Son. You see, in Mark, this holy moment is not a public demonstration of Jesus' identity. In Mark, this is a private moment between Jesus and his heavenly Father. This is God coming right up close to Jesus and affirming him, loving him, telling him, "You are precious and pleasing to me." Again and again in baptism, God meets us. It's often said that baptism establishes our identity. Baptism establishes our identity, which means that Jesus is not who Satan says he is. Jesus is not who the disciples and the crowds think he is. Jesus is not even who he thinks he is when he begins to doubt and when his faith falters. Jesus is who God says he is at his baptism. Jesus is God's Son, well-loved, pleasing in God's sight. That's who Jesus is. And by extension, you are not who Satan says you are. You are not who, I don't know, your boss or your teacher or social media says you are. You are not even who you think you are when your faith falters and you begin to have doubts. You are who God says you are at your baptism. You are a beloved child of God. You are precious. You are pleasing in God's sight. That's who you are. Again and again, God meets us in baptism. You know, in Christian theology, it's long been a argued question about why did Jesus need to get baptized? After all, you know, if baptism is about repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and if Jesus lived a sinless life, you know, why did Jesus need to get baptized? It's a good question, and you can read all about it online. But I think the question misses part of the point of Jesus' ministry. It misses one of the reasons why God sent Jesus into the world in the first place, not just to forgive our sins, not just to do something for us, but above all, Jesus came to be with us, you know, to be one of us, to feel our pain and to experience our joy. Jesus got baptized to show that again and again, God meets us where we are. The preacher Tom Long told about a junior high Sunday school class. Remember when there used to be junior high Sunday school classes? God bless the people who teach junior high Sunday school classes. The class that day was about the baptism of Jesus, and the teacher really wanted to impress upon the kids one of the words in it, and he says, when Jesus came up out of the water, Mark's gospel says that the heavens were literally torn open. The heavens were ripped apart. And that means, the teacher said, that you can get to God. And one little boy, in a fit of juvenile inspiration, said, no, 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 teacher. That means that God can get to us. Again and again, God meets us in holy baptism. After the baptism, then, Mark says, immediately the Holy Spirit had to drive Jesus into the wilderness. In the Bible, the wilderness is that place of testing, the place where you grapple with your demons or with your shadow side. And in the Old Testament, above all, the wilderness is the place where it was between slavery and the promised land. It was that place where the people of Israel were always complaining to Moses, where they had to learn to trust in God. That's the wilderness. And in the New Testament, for example, the wilderness is that place where 5,000 people came to hear Jesus preach, and all the disciples could think about was that they didn't have enough food. They were tested in the wilderness. One commentator says of the wilderness is the dwelling place of forces hostile to God, and nevertheless, God is present in the wilderness. He says the discovery of God's presence, though, grows out of struggle and testing. In other words, being in the wilderness, it's tough. And all of us wind up in the wilderness from time to time. But again and again, that's where God meets us. Jesus is in the wilderness, Mark says, for 40 days, which is meant to remind us, of course, of Noah when it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It's meant to remind us of the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. It's meant to remind us of Moses, who spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai. He was gone so long, the people of Israel got afraid and they made themselves a golden calf. It's meant to remind us of the prophet Elijah, who fasted and prayed 40 days up on Mount Horeb in this terrible fit of despair. The common denominator among all of those Bible stories about 40 years or 40 days is that there's a crisis caused by people fearing the absence of God. And the other common denominator of all of those stories is that in the end, after all, God was there all along. Again and again, even when we don't know it, even when we don't see it coming, God meets us. And finally, Mark says that in the wilderness, angels came. Angels came. And they took care of Jesus. You know, we may have to spend some time in the wilderness. Satan may get his crack at us, but there are angels all around. I did a funeral recently for a young man who lived with and ultimately died from schizophrenia. You know, that horrible disease of the mind that kind of removes people from other people and from good sense even. And yet, even as he suffered with that disease, his mother told me, my son always believed that angels were watching over him. I believe it too. Even in the hardest of wilderness, God meets us with caring angels. So, after being baptized, after spending time in the wilderness, finally Jesus begins his public ministry. He begins preaching, and his message is short and to the point. He says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, that is, change your mind, and believe the good news. That was his message. That was his whole life, not just again and again, but all the time. All the time. God is close. Change your life so that you can live in the nearness of God. So our opening truth as we begin these 40 days of Lent is this. Again and again, God meets us. Again and again, God draws close. So when Jesus is baptized, God meets him with words of affirmation and love and support. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, God meets him with caring angels. And when Jesus preaches, he tells everybody that God has come near. So in good times and in hard times and in all times, the common thread is the nearness of God. Now, if you're anything like me, maybe you don't always sense that God is close to you, maybe until later on. If you're like me, maybe you don't understand how God is with you until later, and you kind of look back on things and you can see how God has been with you. And you know, that's really a wonderful thing, isn't it? To be able to look back on your life and see how God has been with you. But think how much more wonderful it would be if you could sense God with you all the time. Just think how wonderful life would be if you knew and understood that God is meeting you everywhere and all the time, again and again. That's what our season of Lent is about this year. It is about being able to hear God's voice of affirmation and love, not just sometimes, but all the time. It's about knowing that God's angels are all around you, even when you're in the wilderness. And it's about repenting, which really means just to change your life so that you can live in the nearness of God all the time. My friend, the Reverend C.M. Wilson, here she is on the left. She's with Ethel Johnson there, by the way. C.M. Well, one year at annual conference gave the district superintendent's report. In the United Methodist Church, district superintendents are pastors who work closely with the bishop to assign pastors to churches and match churches with pastors. They have to put out fires in churches and deal with closing of churches and conflict in churches. It's a job. I don't know why anybody would ever want to do it. But C.M. did it, and she gave the report one year at annual conference, and C.M. lamented that as a district superintendent, she dealt with all of these churches who didn't like the pastor she'd sent them. And she dealt with all of these pastors who didn't like the churches that she had sent them to. And she dealt with all of these churches who were fighting over petty things. And she dealt with churches and pastors who really, you know, they almost did more harm than good. And then she said, but occasionally you appoint a pastor to a church, you don't know how it's going to work out. And suddenly, there is God so quickly. She told about a little church that had declined over the years and finally voted they were just going to close. And before they closed, they went to the local school superintendent and they asked if they could do something for the school. One last thing before they closed. Well, the superintendent could think of a number of things they could do, and they started doing things, and it turns out that church didn't close after all. Suddenly, there is God so quickly. She told about a church that collected children's books to give to kids to take home with them every month after their community dinner. And they noticed this one little boy always took home the simplest, the lowest level of reading books. And they kind of met him one time, and they encouraged him to take some harder books home to challenge himself. And he didn't want to do it, and they argued for a bit until finally the boy said, well, you know, those harder books, they're still too hard for my mother. And there is God. So quickly. And I wonder if you've ever had that experience. There is God so quickly. You know, maybe you're just sure, you just know that no one cares about you. And then your phone rings or there's a card in the mail. And there's God so quickly. Or maybe you've been in the wilderness like forever And one day you wake up and Satan's voice is gone, you know, or at least it's quiet enough you can live a normal life and there is God so quickly. Or maybe, you know, maybe churches all of your life have shamed you and told you you're no good. And then you find a church that tells you who you really are, that you're a beloved child of God, and there is God so quickly. Maybe you're dealing with a loved one with dementia, and it's this dark hole of no memory. And then one day they remember your name. Or then one day you remember how things used to be. And there's God so quickly. You know, here's a bit of my story. To be honest with you, I'd sort of begun to be afraid that this church was never going to recover from COVID, never going to recover from all the people we lost over social justice. And then, I don't know, a week or two ago, I kind of looked out, and there y'all were, you know? You were worshiping God, and you were feeding children, and you were teaching English to neighbors, and there's God so quickly. Have you ever had that experience? See, that's what we're looking for this Lenten season. There is God so quickly. So we're at the very beginning of our 40-day journey through Lent. And we may have a lot to do this Lent, you know, fasting and praying and giving something up or caring for people in some new way. Whatever it is that you have decided to do to foster a fuller relationship with God. But we begin the journey of Lent as Jesus began his journey with this. In good times, in hard times, in all times, the common thread is the nearness of God. You know, true confession, here's how I tend to look at life. Oh, again and again, something bad is probably going to happen. Here's Lent. Again and again, God meets us. I want to conclude with a poem. It came with the materials from a sanctified art. I think it helps to shift our perspective from focusing on the absence of God to focusing on the presence of God. It's by a woman named Reverend Sarah R., and it's called Remember When. Here it is. God never begins letters with the word, "I hope this finds you well," for those words imply distance. Instead, God begins God's letters to you with the words, "Remember when, beloved child, remember when we dipped our toes into the water, remember when we dove right in, remember when the ice cream dripped down our hands, and the cicadas sang their song, and the seasons changed, and the days were long. Remember when we fell in love, and the world was new. Remember when our heart broke. Remember the tears. Remember the long nights. Remember when we laughed again and the sound surprised us. Remember when we marched in the street. Remember when we cast our vote. Remember when we believed in hope. Remember when I do." That's what God's letters say. So on this day and every day to come, remember God is meeting you again and again.
Good morning. I have the privilege of lighting the candle of peace, justice, and inclusive love. Will you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for the many ways that you shine your light in our lives. Whether we are in moments of wilderness because of seasonal depression, or frustration over a lack of justice and equality, or our own loneliness, the moments that we find ourselves deep, deep in the wilderness, we look up and we see that light shining. We know that your presence is there, wrapping your loving arms around us, helping us find our way out of that wilderness. And sometimes when we turn around and it looks black and dark and scary, we know that your hand is there guiding us along the path. It may take a good amount of time to get out of that place, but we know that you are there with us, pushing us, pulling us, dragging us towards the light, and letting us know that you are there for us again and again. We say this in your name, and all God's children said, amen. If you please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we are going to say together the affirmation of faith, which is on the screen for our Lenten journey. So please say this with me. We believe in an inviting God who invites the poor and the sick, the outcast and the lonely, the immigrant and the refugee, the awkward and the abrasive, the young and the innocent. We believe God invites the best and worst in all of us. We believe God invites us to a life of faith, a crowded table, a messy church, a deeper truth, a resilient joy, a place to belong, a family among strangers, a world that is just, and a love that knows no bounds. We believe this invitation exists for all people. We believe this invitation exists for us. And when we miss the call or ignore the invite, we believe that God invites us again and again. Thanks be to God for that invitational spirit. Amen.
I'm lost without you.
Lenten journey, I send you forth with these words. As you leave this space, may your mouth speak of God's goodness. May your arms hold those in need. May your feet walk towards justice. May your heart trust its worth. May your soul dance in God's grace. May this be your rhythm again and again. Amen. Will you say with us what God has called us to do? It's on the screen. Loving all.